What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, Nick Kale, Mary Walter, Greg Stocker with you. Get us on the free Odyssey app and watch us live on YouTube. As we welcome in Dan Zakrzewski, Outkick writer and reporter. We just played you the Q&A that he had last weekend with Dawn Staley prior to the Women's National Championship. And Dan's been getting a lot of mentions, a lot of notoriety after asking what I thought was a very simple, important question. Dan, good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. And I want to say, you know, I've done a few interviews, and that was the cleanest, most perfect pronunciation of my last name that I have heard yet.
Well, don't worry. If you stick around long enough, I'll butcher nine other names before I get one right. So, honestly, you remind me of the last name. Reminds me of Mike Krzyzewski, the former coach at Duke. So, if for some reason it just flows off the tongue relatively easily, I appreciate that. I'm curious because you just actually posted a new update to your story, their story, and you said the following: after hearing what Dawn Staley said about allowing biological males in women's sports, several former women's coaches have reached out to you and Outkick to express their disappointment with her comments, and you say, here is their story. I just retweeted it. What can you tell us about what was said, obviously, off the record between these former coaches and their sentiments?
No, this was totally on the record. All three of them went on the record.
Okay.
Kim Russell, former Oberlin College lacrosse coach, who was ousted from her position for saying she didn't think biological men should compete in women's sports. Jamie Holmes was a former volleyball coach at the collegiate level. And Barbara Ehart, who's a current representative in the Idaho state government and a former women's basketball coach. So, yeah, all three reached out to us and said, you know, hey, we want to talk about this. You know, it's an important issue. Thank you for raising this issue at this time. But, you know, essentially the message from all of them was, we were disappointed. This was a perfect opportunity for someone who has a ton of power in women's sports to stand up for women and women's sports, and she didn't do it. And so they wanted to, you know, they wanted to talk to us, and I appreciate everybody. Go read the story at outkick.com. They had a lot of really, really important things to say.
I am just shocked that the coach was so unprepared for this. I mean, isn't it something that is just so big in sports right now that every school, I'm sure, has had some kind of meeting, some kind of way to game this out to do that? But were you surprised at how unprepared she was for that question?
That's a good question. Initially, yes, I was, because my first thought was, how has this never come up before? But then,
right.
You know, let me tell you what I learned, because I covered, you know, I'm obviously not a women's college basketball beat reporter, right? I write for Outkick. I cover, you know, national sports and culture, everything. But over the last 2 weeks, I went to Albany, New York to cover the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight because South Carolina was there, Iowa was there, LSU was there. And then I obviously went to Cleveland to cover the Final Four. So I covered women's basketball pretty closely for 2 weeks. And what I learned was, you know, that media isn't much of a media. It's really more just PR. Everyone in those rooms, everyone in every room I was in, you know, every one of their questions was just so positive and so, like, fluffy, I guess would be the right word. Like, mm-hmm. there are no hard questions asked of these coaches and players. And so I guess I'm not surprised, because Dawn Staley probably never expected to be asked by that group anything resembling a question that could be considered difficult, although I don't think this is a difficult question, to be perfectly frank.
Yep.
So I think just, you know, constantly being in rooms where nobody's asking you anything difficult, I think it caught her off guard that someone had a real question, to be honest.
Well, Dan, this is, I mean, it's the most pertinent question in all of female sports right now, and it shouldn't be a tough question because I think 9 out of 10 Americans agree men shouldn't be competing in women's sports, but today's media, if we had an honest and open media, they would actually do their job and ask the question that you asked, but we have media members that basically operate as advocates now for the far left.
Yeah.
I want to get your thoughts on what the NAIA just recently did. For those who don't know, it's the lower level of college athletics below the NCAA, and they have now banned biological males from competing against biological females. I think that puts the onus, the pressure, and the ball, so to speak, now in the court of the NCAA. Do you agree with that? And then secondly, do you think they will join along with the NAIA, or they'll play more political and kind of hope this thing just goes away?
Yeah, so first of all, I absolutely agree that the NAIA, A, did the right thing, and B, that you know it absolutely puts the pressure back on the NCAA. The problem for the NCAA right now is they have a lot going on. They're being sued by several former athletes, including Riley Gaines, an OutKick contributor, essentially for discrimination, for allowing males in, you know, biological males in women's sports and taking away medals and forcing them to share locker rooms with males who have fully intact male genitalia. So if the NCAA were to come out and immediately make a statement like the NAIA, I think it would hurt them legally, right? Because they're being sued for this, and that would essentially be an admission of guilt.
Yep.
So I'm not sure they can do that right now. I think they have to let the legal process play itself out before they can really make any moves.
So, ultimately, where do we wind up at the end of this? Because I think you're right about the NCAA. They've got themselves, they backed themselves into a corner because they tried to make everybody happy, and in the process made no one happy. So, where does this wind up, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Dawn Staley ended up too, right? She was trying to think about in that moment where she takes the deep sip and, you know, she makes the comment about how it was a deep question. And, you know, it was a good, what, 20 seconds from the time that I asked the question before she actually started to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was probably what she was thinking, like, okay, what is the answer here that sort of makes the most people happy? And, you know, I don't think she made the right choice, and I'm surprised that she answered it just given the fact that she had an easy out in the situation, which was, hey, good question, got a national championship game coming up tomorrow. It's not something I'm really thinking about right now, but, you know, we could talk about it at another time. Easy. But she elected to take a stand. Where does this end up? So, you know, I've talked with Riley Gaines many times. I've been to her at several of her events, and, you know, she's not afraid to make the point that, you know, women swimming, when the whole Leah Thomas thing happened, no one cared about women's college swimming prior to that. Riley will openly say, you know how many media requests I got in my time as a swimmer before Leah Thomas came on the scene? The answer is zero. No one ever wanted to talk to us. No one cared. And I still don't think people really care that much because it affected a sport that isn't super popular. Now, that's where the Dawn Staley thing comes in, because if this happened, I'm sorry, when this happens in college basketball, if there aren't changes made, that's when you're going to see changes have to be made. Now, I had a lot of people come at me and say that this was an irrelevant question because there aren't any transgender women in college basketball. And my response to those people is simple. Okay, so should we wait until it happens to talk about it?
Right.
Or should we maybe think about getting ahead of the issue before it happens?
Yeah.
Because that's the side I'm on.
Agreed. And Dan, I'm curious, and this is a total guess or a projection or a prediction I'm asking from you. So we had Dawn's answer, and we played that last segment. You also asked the Iowa head coach, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I believe she said something to the effect of it's an important issue, it's an important question, but I want to address it at a later time. This is not the ideal setting. I have no idea if she disagrees and has a differing opinion than Dawn Staley. And I know you're not a columnist that covers women's college basketball, but if you had to guess how many head coaches in women's college basketball, regardless of whether the head coach is male or female, how many do you think would come out and echo the sentiments of Dawn Staley? And how many would echo the sentiment of 9 out of 10 Americans that say dudes have no business being in female sports?
All right, so let's break this question down a few ways. First, let me say that I actually just got an email back from the Iowa Athletic Department because I followed up with them and said, hey, Coach Bluder says she wanted, she would talk about this at another time. We'd love to talk with her, you know, when she's available, all season's over. And they said that, you know, she's still busy this week. She's going to be going to the WNBA draft to support Caitlin, which of course she should. And that's incredible. But they're going to follow up with her next week. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stay on that. I want an answer. Okay. And, you know, a lot of people came at me too for that. Like, oh, you asked the black coach, but not the white coach. I'm like, well, I did ask the white coach. She just didn't give an answer. And right. By the way, to those people, I am following up with her. Right. She said she would talk about it at a later date. I'm a reporter. I'm going to continue to follow up on that story, and I would like to get her on the record. Now, is your question, would they echo those sentiments publicly, or what do they actually think?
Mm-hmm. I think those
two answers are different.
Correct. Yeah. How many people do you think would genuinely, whether we like the answer or not, whether we agree with it or not, how many coaches do you think, or even percentage-wise, would give you their honest opinion?
very few.
I would agree.
But mm-hmm. I would say that the percentage of women's college basketball coaches who truly believe that it would be fine for a biological male who transitioned to a woman to play women's college basketball is zero, including Dawn Staley. I would say those who truly believe it, the answer is zero.
Gotcha.
Personally, that's what I think.
All right. Go ahead, Mary.
No. I was just going to ask quickly. I was going to ask and say, so what are the odds of the solution to this being an entire third category, I guess, of biological males who play as women, a transgender category, so men, women, and others, I guess, or however whatever they want to call it.
So, you know, what's interesting about that is there really isn't actually a such thing as men's sports. We think there is, but really men's sports is just the top. Any woman who wanted to play men's sports can. She's allowed to do that. The only thing we really do is stop men from competing in women's sports because of the obvious biological disadvantage. But
right.
The men's category is generally just the open category. It's just, of course, that's why it is the way it is. That's why we don't want biological men competing in women's sports, because the open category is dominated by men. Nothing is stopping a woman from playing in the NFL, from playing in the NBA. They're allowed to do that. We just don't want it going the other direction. So do we need a third category? I mean, look, that's for other people to decide. That's not up to me. I don't know. To me, we have an open category for all these sports. So I'm good with that. Mm. But, you know, if they want to create that, that's fine. Fine with that. Whatever. Just not allowing biological men in women's sports is where we need to be. Whatever you do from there, that's on you.
Right.
Dan, final one for me. I know you used to work at ESPN for many years as a producer on the radio side of things. I also was in sports for many years and made the transition a lot like Will Kane, a lot like Clay has going to news and politics. But I've always still kept an eye on the way sports media covers stories. And it seems like over the last 10 years or so, maybe even a little longer, that the sports media has kind of gotten into the same position that the mainstream news media has gotten into, where they are now left-wing advocates. Where do you think the general state of journalism is today, whether it's in sports or in news media, where we just have far left or far right, and it seems like it's more slanted than ever before?
Yeah, and I'll add to that I'm not even sure we can define journalism at this point, because again, you know, everyone accused me of having an agenda by asking that question. Now, if that's true, then by your own logic, every question that's ever asked has an agenda, which is true, by the way. If you're writing a story about, you know, a Patriots game, and you ask Bill Belichick, formerly, obviously, mm-hmm. You know, what happened on that 3rd and 6 play, because you already have it in your story that the 3rd and 6 play in the third quarter is part of your story, and you want a quote from him, like, well, don't you have an agenda to get an answer specifically about that question, because mm-hmm. you've already decided that you thought that was an important play in the game? You know, someone tweeted me, and I thought this was interesting, that sort of unbiased journalism is really a myth anyway, because every human being has their own biases. I think what really happened, though, is that we at least tried to put them aside, or at least give the illusion that we were trying as hard as we could to put our biases aside. But we've reached a place where I don't think that's even, like, journalists don't feel compelled to do that.
Right.
I saw this turn in you talked about being in sports, and so I'll use sports as an example as well. I saw this in sports turn about 10 years ago. If you remember, like, journalists or people on TV, commentators, They never talked about who their favorite team was, because the whole thing was, I cover these sports. I don't have a favorite team. Right. I'm here for the stories. All of a sudden, if you remember, like, Mike Greenberg, it became this huge, like, he's a Jets fan.
And he's talking about the Jets every day. Yes.
Right. And he talked about, and then that became a thing. When I was working at ESPN, I'll never forget, there was like a story with the Seahawks, and I was producing a radio show, and someone was like, well, you got to call Mina Kimes. And I was like, why do we have to call Mina Kimes? And they were like, because she's a Seahawks fan. And I was like,
so?
Well, don't we not want to have the Seahawks fan perspective? Isn't our job to get someone who doesn't care about the Seahawks like that?
Right.
Like, no, we made this turn in sports where it was like, you know, hey, it's great. Wear your fandom out loud. That's not journalism.
No.
So I saw it in sports, and I think that that's kind of the thing with news media is like your team is the Democrats or the Republicans, and hey, wear your fandom out loud.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Good observation.
Great stuff, buddy. We really appreciate the time this morning.
Hey, thank you. Anytime.
You got it. Dan Zakrzewski, OutKick writer and reporter, covers sports and culture. You know, it's a great point. He talks about being like a fanboy as a media member. Yesterday, we talked about the story about NPR. I mean, the executive editor of NPR, or I forget what his official title is, but he's been there for 25 years, comes out and says the left-leaning bias is so obvious now that I have to come out and write an op-ed about it in the Free Press. And I think the numbers that we threw out yesterday of the 88 employees that NPR employs, it's either 87 out of 88 or all 88 of them are Democrats.
Right.
They don't even try to hide the bias anymore, Mary.
So somebody sent me that story yesterday, Tuesday, while we were on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't read it while we were on the air. I tried during the breaks, but if I remember correctly, Tuesday was one of those days. And so I got to read it, and I finally digested the whole thing. And I thought to myself, and I'm seeing it blow up all over X. I'm like, why is this surprising?
Right.
I'm sorry. How is this news? Did we not know this?
Mm-hmm.
Getting a gig at NPR is the sweetest radio gig in the world because it's paid for by taxpayer dollars. You get paid far more than anyone in private, the rest of the radio world. In D.C., they have chefs. They prepare food for them there. You guys were complaining about we can't get a food drop.
Yeah,
they do.
We can't get a food drop.
By the way,
yes.
By the way, speaking of, and I don't want to derail Mary's point because she's onto a good one here.
Yeah.
But when you ask for a food drop, J&J Snacks would like to send over some soft pretzels.
See? Ask and you shall receive. That's the way the gods work, Mary.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, good. That's you enjoy. That's wonderful. That's very, very kind, by the way.
Back to your NPR rant. It was a good one.
Yeah. No. So you know, I'm just watching this. I'm like, has no one listened to NPR? I mean, the people who are surprised by this entire thing. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, when my husband and I are on a long ride, we love to scan terrestrial radio to find the NPR station because it really is truly like the Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to listen to them like wax poetic about ferns, and they've got a fern expert in, and they're going on. And the reason it's government funded by us is because it's unlistenable.
Mm-hmm.
It's crap radio.
Right.
That's what annoys me about the whole thing is that we rely on listeners, sponsors. You know, we are a for-profit business. We don't survive without listeners and advertisers who take a chance on us by advertising with this radio station.
Right.
They can do whatever the hell they want to.
Yep.
There's no commercials there. They rely on taxpayers and they rely on donations.
Mm-hmm.
That is how they are funded. And when I see WHYY in the top 10 in this radio market, it just makes me want to throw something. It makes me want to throw something because it's horrible radio and they don't depend on advertisers.
Yep.
And they're not even in the same game we are.
It's a heck of a blueprint, right?
Yes.
It's a hell of a business model.
How do we do that? How can we get involved in that?
And Mary, did you say NPR hosts make a lot of money? Is that what you said?
Because what they do is they buy college radio stations, right?
Right.
So they buy these, they go into these college radio stations, and these college radio stations operate on a shoestring if you've ever been in a college radio station, but the kids don't get the on-air jobs. Right?
Okay.
They put on their hosts, and the kids are behind the scenes doing all the things. So they take that opportunity away from the kids, which also makes me crazy. And the sad thing about it is these kids then think like, wow, radio is this,
yep,
this world with all, you make a lot of money, and look at all these perks and all this other stuff. And then they walk into an actual real radio station in real life that's not funded by the government. And they're, yep, like, they suddenly start to rethink their life choices.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
You're 100% right. And it's just, I don't even, somebody on the YouTube chat is like, oh, you touched a nerve. Yes, this affects me. This affects my bottom line. And
oh,
I,
yeah,
just, I hate to see radio stations that just exist because, you know, they're like, oh, we don't have commercials here like those other stations. Yeah, we wouldn't survive without commercials, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it. And right, that's how the real world works.
Right. Right, and that's, yes, why we always tell you to patronize our advertisers and do good by them, because without, okay, them, we're gone.
Now, the numbers I have here are 2008, but let's see. One of their, Ira Glass, who I don't even know, yeah, if still there anymore, $170,000 in 2008.
Yeah. Hmm. On taxpayers' money, yeah, and donations. Uh-huh. Tote bags.
Morning Edition host Renee Montagna in, yeah, 2008, $405,000.
Wow. Wow.
Look, did you see Nick's head just like pop up? He just popped up and looked like, wait, what?
That's what Joe Biden makes a year, 400 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. And the co-host makes 356, and I love that the woman makes more than the man. Look at that. Mm. But their morning show alone in wages is over $700,000 in 2008.
Yeah, and, yeah, we're paying for it.
Right.
There you go. All right.
I had to check that. They do make good money.
All right, 9:22. Let's get to our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Anyways, we thought we'd call y'all to see what you got.
Yeah, we know you can talk to the press and sign autographs and stuff.
We can do more than that.
Oh, yeah? Well, we can teach you how to play like the real Team USA.
Yeah, what would you know about it?
You gotta earn every inch.
Tag team back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party.
Did we just do this one?
I was thinking the same thing. Definitely in this calendar year we have.
Hey, ain't no whistles out here either. You keep digging until you score that goal.
Think you know what it is? Be calling 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Ah, it's like a rerun episode of SNL. We run out of ideas, so we're just going to throw out a rerun. There you go. 855-839-1210. Caller 12, if you can identify that movie, you will get a pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynne's ELO Over and Out Tour. It's coming up on September 21st at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster.com. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. See if we get our winner on the other side, followed by what's on the cut sheet part due. It's all still ahead here on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Thursday morning, Mary Walter in for Dawn as we head until 10 o'clock. Dawn Show, top of the hour. Kathy Burnett in for Dawn. Who won Twitter today? Today in music history. Cut sheet part due. It's all still on the way. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Get 0% financing for 60 months on a $2,000 customer bonus on the new 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan. Only during the 75th anniversary sales event. Visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne or PiazzaVW.com today. All right. Looks like we have our winner. I was thinking we might not get the winner, but we do have it. Linda is in Telford, and she's got the correct movie this morning. Linda, what clip did we just play for you a few minutes ago?
Mighty Ducks 2, my, yes, boy's favorite movies.
Yes, D2 is correct. Congratulations. You've got another pair of those tickets to see Jeff Lynne coming up in September.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate you listening and playing. Yeah, I'm almost certain we played. Not only did we play a Mighty Ducks 2 clip earlier in 2024, I think we played the same exact clip, to be completely honest.
I agree with you. You're 100% right. We didn't even stretch out for clips.
No,
we had the same clip.
No, and I was thinking maybe there was like some catch to this. Maybe it came out. 32 years ago today or something.
Magic Man writes, the movie of the day used to be a movie that was referenced from the previous day. You people have just bastardized it, dude. I came up with this idea.
Yeah.
How can I bastardize my own thought? My own. What are you talking about? I hate people.
I need to have a meeting with myself.
I hate people. Oh, you've bastardized this. I created it!
Yeah, because no other radio station's done this.
Exactly. Thank you. It's the same AS. It's a dopey morning show bit.
And you folks,
bastardized it. Shut up.
No.
Stop listening! Stop listening!
Oh, my God.
I don't need you. Our ratings are just fine without you. Go away. Thank you.
Or... Anthony, you are fire.
You could do that.
Sorry, I just needed one outburst while Mary was here.
Do you feel better now that you purged?
Do
you kind of like the verbal diarrhea? Yes, you just got it all
exactly
out. It's good.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, expelled the demon.
Yes,
he has exercised.
I got
the
it
demons.
All.
Oh, I just want to know: did his head spin around like Linda Blair?
There's steam coming out of his ear. His earphones. His headsets, yeah.
Greg is psychotic, Edward writes.
I think one blown gasket a day is good for the soul. I think it's good for the blood pressure. I think it's good for a lot of things.
Hey, Edward, it's radio, brother, okay? Just relax. Jesus mighty. Oh, my God.
You enjoying this, Mary? I love this.
I love this.
I sit back and I let him stew.
Well, you know, to Greg's credit here, he's kind of quiet. He kind of sits back. He's letting you and me do our thing, right? And then it builds up.
It
and so he just has to just eventually just boom. He's like Mount Etna every now and then. He just boom, you know?
Yeah. Jennifer Lewis actually wants to check in on what Greg said.
Not Jennifer.
I know what mental illness looks like.
By the way, that has to be one of the best rants, that rant there with Jennifer. That's got to be one of the best. That's a rant for all times. That's got to be in the top 10.
By the way, has she been reprimanded by ABC for that outburst? Because I
Nobody
know
would know.
You know, some a lot of people, if somebody would say that about Joe Biden, you know, their employer would call him in to HR. Mm-hmm.
JK13, if you keep screaming, I would turn it off. Good. Turn it off. I don't care. Turn it off. Good God.
You do reach notes that dogs can hear you.
Thank
now.
You. I'm going to stop now.
And then when we lose that guy, Greg's going to be like, damn, I should not have said that.
Nick, he'll blame you.
Yeah, yeah, blame me.
Nick,
no,
you
blame
fault.
Me. I won't be here. You can blame me.
There you go.
I would never blame you, Mary. I would never blame you.
You guys ready for one last crazy story of the day?
Sure.
This is almost too good to be true. The New York Post with the headline, Lori Lightfoot. Remember, you remember her, lightweight, right? The mayor of Chicago?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably the worst mayor short of Jim Kenney here in Philadelphia, but they're all awful because they all subscribe to the same failed progressive policies that don't work. But Lori Lightfoot has now been hired to investigate the worst mayor in America, Tiffany Henyard. And oh, by the way, Lori Lightfoot to investigate. I mean, think about this. You fail. This would be like one of us having the worst ratings in the history of radio and then being hired as a radio consultant to tell people how to do radio.
Isn't that how it usually happens?
Well, that's usually the way
it happens. You beat me to it, darn it.
I'm sorry. That's how it usually happens.
Yes.
The ones who were fired or never made a name for themselves in the business become consultants.
Right.
Ooh, I'm singing a gig for me.
Yeah. I used to love it when I was in sports and we would bring in a guy from like Phoenix, Arizona to tell you, the lifelong Philadelphian, what Philadelphia sports fans want to hear on the radio. And then they get 10 grand, they go through their talking points and then they leave. Not that I was jealous. But Lori Lightfoot has been hired at $400 per hour.
Wow.
To investigate the worst mayor, the Illinois village of Dalton, D-O-L-T-O-N, has voted in favor of a resolution to hire ex-Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot to investigate its own leader, Tiffany Henyard, who is accused of misusing taxpayer funds and various other corrupt practices. Lightfoot, who lost her re-election bid in a landslide last year. And the sad part about Chicago is they were sick of progressive policies and super left stuff, right? So they vote for Brandon Johnson, and he's further left than Lightfoot is. So,
yep.
It's like, again, you know, elections have consequences. And they go on to say, Lightfoot was, quote, honored to be tasked with the investigation of Henyard, Dalton's self-proclaimed super mayor. Quote, as somebody who has made good governance the cornerstone of my career in public service, I recognize that maintaining the trust of those who you serve and making decisions in their best interest is essential. This is not a parody. This is not the Babylon Bee here, Mary. This is real life.
And, but that's why this is so delicious, and I love this. But this is this any different than hiring a criminal to have like a TV show to tell people how to how not to become victims of crime?
Correct. That's exactly,
right.
That's exactly.
So it's like the same thing. It's like this is how I stole the, you know, the title to your home.
Yeah.
That guy's on TV. He's got, like, the commercial for that company, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I used to do it all the time. And I'm like, yet they're high. Which it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So who better to investigate corruption in mayors than, like, Lori Lightfoot?
This is the equivalent of Claudine Gay being fired at Harvard for plagiarism and then coming and getting a lecture about academic integrity, right?
And she didn't get fired. They just gave her another gig at the same salary.
Yeah, that's true.
So she didn't get fired. They just kind of rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Who was it? Was it McGill that got fired at Penn, I believe?
Yes, McGill got
It was Liz McGill, yeah.
Well, she's white, so I think that's why she got fired. Whereas Claudine Gay, they just said, okay, just go over here and you don't have to do anything and we'll still pay you the same amount of money.
Yes, $400 per hour. To talk about things that you're not equipped to talk about, that in a city like Chicago that couldn't wait to get rid of you and then probably made their situation even worse. That's a good life if you can get it. All right, there you go. Last story of the day. We'll come back. We'll wrap up. We've got What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2. We're going to find out what's on tap at the top of the hour, who won Twitter today, and today in music history. It's all still on the way. Kale and Company, as we put a bow on today's show after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, Nick, Mary, Greg. 855-839-1210. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube for great radio moments like you just heard or saw last segment as Stalker went nuclear. It's always good radio. I just kind of put my feet up and let him do his thing. I love when people blow gaskets and it's not me. Gives me a little chance to catch my breath.
Can I ask a question? What is this that we're listening to? What is this? I'm Dead, Give Me Roses. What is this? Yeah, yay, happy Thursday to you.
Stone Temple Pilots, Dead and Bloated.
You're a little STP. Lovely. Little STP, Mary?
Come on.
Like whales at the Jersey Shore that Phil Murphy's killing?
Yeah.
I Dead and Bloated to start your day. There you go.
Have
a great day,
man.
Everybody.
Rock and roll, baby.
Yeah.
That's how
rock
we do
and
it here.
Roll. This is not rock and roll.
Oh, yes, it is.
The opposite of Dead and Bloated is Alive and Bloated, or also known as
Sloppy Chris Christie.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'm bummed.
All right, we got a lot to get to here in the final 10 minutes of the show. Let's get to what we like to call What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet
Part 2? What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2, sponsored by Budget Blinds. Spring is here, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shade, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Yes, motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-question-asked warranty in the business, budgetblinds.com. Thank you, Budget Blinds, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2. We didn't get to this earlier. Hat tip to Mary Walter for finding this audio for us. Michael Avenatti was on MSNBC yesterday. He called in from prison. And he kind of defended Donald Trump.
Ooh.
Let me say that again. Michael Avenatti called in MSNBC from prison.
Okay.
And defended Donald Trump.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is cut one, Phil. Go.
And you join us at a very newsworthy time. Some of your lawyering led to the exposure of the evidence in this case. The New York trial now will be Donald Trump's first and possibly only trial this year. How do you assess the strength of the prosecution's case?
Well, I think what I'm about to say is going to surprise a lot of people, and that is that, I think this is the wrong case at the wrong time. Ari. I think that the case is in many ways stale at this juncture.
Wow.
You're talking about conduct that occurred some 8 years ago. I think the fact that it's occurring in state court in New York is a mistake. And I think that when you are going to potentially deprive tens of millions of Americans of their choice for the presidency of the United States, whether we agree with those folks or not, or regardless of what we may think of Donald Trump, I think it's a mistake to do it based on a case of this nature. I was hoping, frankly, that there would have been less hand-wringing, less bedwetting, and that the January 6th case would have been filed in a more timely manner. There's no excuse or reason as to why that case could not have been brought in 2021, and it should have been brought in 2021. And had it been brought in 2021, we would not find ourselves in the situation that we're in right now. Now, I know a lot of people have been critical of the United States Supreme Court, and as well as the second, not the second, but the D.C. Circuit.
Yep.
You know, I think those complaints are frankly misplaced.
Wow.
How about that? So he comes out and says Alvin Bragg's case is stale, a.k.a. legally. I mean, the statute of limitations, for God's sakes, they expired. To reactivate it, he basically had to bootstrap a misdemeanor to a felony. So, Mary, you found that clip. Your thoughts on that?
So, first of all, I want to know who Michael Avenatti's agent is, because I got to get that agent, because that agent got him a gig from prison.
It's true.
Right?
Very good point.
So, and I'm on a street corner, and I'm considering becoming a greeter at Walmart. So I need his agent. That's the first thing. But he's absolutely right. This case, Cyrus Vance Jr., who was the DA before Alvin Bragg, turned this case down, which is why the statute of limitations went out on it. The feds chose not to go after. The feds didn't go after Trump on this. They booted it to SDNY.
Yep.
They said, no, we're not doing it. And then along comes Alvin Bragg, who we know is, I will not be surprised if we find out that members of his office have also been to the White House, just like members of Fannie Willis and Letitia James have all, and Jack Smith have all met at the White House with someone. And why are they meeting with anybody at the White House when their cases don't involve the White House?
But that's a good point. So. Look, when multiple prosecutors at multiple jurisdictional levels decline to touch a case, and then all of a sudden somebody does, you have to ask yourself why.
Do you guys think that this is the first time they've brought on a guest from his jail cell? Just curious.
I've never seen it before. And I'm also wondering, did the host there, does he know Avenatti's going to sit there and basically...
We've played those clips. We've played those clips of basically the media just like fawning all over Michael Avenatti.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that they said that he should run for president at some point, I believe somebody said.
Yes,
so,
you're right.
Like what... I just want to know to Mary's point, who's booking him from his jail cell, and how does one do that?
Mm-hmm. And I have first dibs on them, so get in line, Greg.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, the thing is, every now and then, it's interesting, CNN and MSNBC will stumble into journalism.
Mm-hmm.
CNN more so, shockingly, which I find interesting, than MSNBC. But here's my thing. What's Avenatti's angle here?
Yeah, that's a good question. Right?
Yeah.
What's his angle? Trump's on the hook now for the Stormy Daniels thing that he started.
Yep. Right.
Right? And Stormy Daniels wound up having to pay Trump because of Avenatti.
And that starts, if my calendar's correct, on Monday, right?
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And this is the same thing that John Edwards was hoisted up from, and he used campaign cash to pay off Riel Hunter.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And that he walked away from that. So why we're even doing this is just to, obviously, it's election interference. But what's Avenatti's angle?
How about him coming out saying, especially on the January 6th case, if they wanted to prosecute it, they could have done it 3 years ago.
They should have done. Exactly. And that's the point. Yes. So what's his angle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi Goldberg on The View yesterday claimed that Republicans want to bring slavery back.
The whoopster coming out firing.
I haven't heard this. We played a clip the other day when Mary was here of the them saying that they were going to bring back the kids in cages.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They're just replaying the hits from 2016.
Yeah, well, they're out of content.
Yeah.
They have to. Yep. What are they going to talk about? Biden's economy?
Cut nine, Phil. Go.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember, I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it because, you see, things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. Mm-hmm. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse.
Or to roll back.
And to me, if you're okay rolling that back when things were not even a state, when we had no say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how's that going to roll? How's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this, with all of this comes birth control.
Right.
With all of this comes everything that you need as a woman to have had put in place to make sure that we were doing better than we were before.
By the way, Alyssa Farah Griffin's response to, like, you see her visually there for a sec. She's like, what are you talking about? They're trying to bring, by the way, like, how do you bring slavery back? Do we get together for, like, a big meeting? Yeah, do we sit down on Zoom? How do we bring this back? I'm just curious, Whoopi. The abortion bone's connected to the slavery bone.
I just even refuse to entertain this.
Sorry.
I cannot give the Yentas any kind of credence by sitting here and trying to figure out what Whoopi Goldberg really meant. The woman is... I can't.
You know what it's amazing to me is forget like the actual politics or the concept of slavery or anything like that. You're on a show. How long is that show? Is that show 2 hours?
No, it's an hour.
No. So No.
It's a panel of five people for 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's got to be with probably 33 different producers.
42 mm-hmm. minutes of content.
You couldn't. I mean, that is the easiest gig on the planet. We do 4 hours a day with two producers and an executive producer. And this is the best you've got.
Yep.
This is the best content you can come up with.
4 hours
it's the
a day,
NPR
5 days
of
a week.
TV.
You're 100% right.
It's awful.
You're just jealous.
I am.
Time for, no, I guess we should
out
save.
Of time?
I guess we should save Aaron Rodgers for tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Thursday edition of Today in Music.
Wait, hang on.
Oh, he's not ready yet. This is where we play the music that Phil talks about. He's like, today!
Yeah, here we go.
Here
ready?
It comes. Here we go.
What happened on this day in music history?
Here it comes.
Today, April 11th. Actually, no notable birthdays, but I got a bunch of albums, including Firehouse's third album and White Zombie's Astro Creep 2000, both released in 95. Sabotage released their debut in 83. CCR released their final album in 72. And Iron Maiden released Seventh Son of a Seventh Son on this day in 88. And by the way, they're coming to Wells Fargo Center in November, and of course, I will be there. One notable single, Argent, released Hold Your Head Up on this day in 72.
Argent.
Also, in 91, Ringo Starr appeared on The Simpsons. Frank Sinatra recorded Strangers of the Night on this day in 66. And Dave Mustaine was kicked out of Metallica on this day in 83.
Wow.
And lastly, in 77, Alice Cooper played to an audience of 40,000 people in Sydney, Australia. It's the largest crowd to attend a rock show in the country's history. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
I'm a little surprised that number seems low.
Who knew that Alice Cooper held the record in Australia?
Yeah, but they've got some big venues there. I would have figured they would have a six-figure attendance.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Let's get to who won Twitter today.
One more time.
Who won Twitter?
Who won Twitter sponsored by the Arden Theater? I'm going to give it to Jeremy Burke. He says, I'm now claiming victim status as a result of the berating aggression projected by Greg Stocker. I do not start at 6 a.m.
Oh, you don't.
So there you go.
Well, that's why we created the rewind feature on the app, so you can go back and get it.
Don't miss Arden's Children Theater's modern retelling of the classic tale, Pinocchio, adapted by Greg Banks, a wooden boy, a nose that grows, a huge whale, and a cricket with a lot of opinions. On stage now, info at ardentheater.org. That's ardentheater.org.
All right, there you go. Merry, great time as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and I'm back on Monday, right, guys? Monday,
yes. All right, we will chat again on Monday morning.
Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend.
Yes. You too. All right, we'll see everybody tonight. If you're heading out to the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County, say hello. Rand Paul, Dom Giordano, and as the binder would say after she says a whole bunch of nothing.
I'll see you tomorrow. Come talk to me.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.